This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Authorities in Lebanon say today's Israeli airstrikes killed 100 people. Israel says it struck more than 300 targets as it goes after Hezbollah. ABC's chief global affairs correspondent Martha Raddatz is in Tel Aviv.
The IDF now warning that extensive, precise strikes aimed at targets across Lebanon are far from over, and that civilians around them should flee. This comes after a weekend of Hezbollah firing more than 150 rockets into northern Israel.
The Middle East expected to be a major topic at the UN General Assembly begins today. Congressional leaders have a bipartisan agreement on a government funding bill to avoid a shutdown. It boosts funding for the Secret Service. Pope Francis canceled his audiences today. The Vatican says the 87-year-old is in a slight flu-like state, but that he still plans to travel to Belgium and Luxembourg this week. This is ABC News. High above our heads this morning.
Standing by for undocking, and there it is.
11:20.
NASA TV is a Soyuz spacecraft left the International Space Station. On board, American astronaut Tracy Dyson, along with two Russian cosmonauts, one of them on this trip clocking his 1,110th day in space, spread over five missions. Back on the ground, a rodeo was on the run, says ABC's Lionel Moise.
Things got wild Sunday at the rodeo in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. Eight bulls escaping their enclosure at a local mall and running through the city streets.
There's six bulls on the loose on our street, and here come the cowboys.
The enormous escapees making their way to a residential neighborhood. Ranch hands carried out metal fences to corral the animals, working with local police and volunteers to steer them into a transport vehicle.
Baseball: Chicago White Sox lost to the San Diego Padres for their record-tying 120th loss of the season. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest on the Kennedy ballot case. The Wisconsin Supreme Court announced Friday they will be deciding whether or not Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s name will need to remain on the ballot. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will be trying to reach a decision as expeditiously as possible, as election clerks have already begun sending out absentee ballots with Kennedy's name on them. Kennedy has been trying to remove his name from the ballot in battleground states in an effort to not take away votes from Donald Trump, whom he endorsed in August. Senator Tammy Baldwin has introduced a bill to help businesses who rely on a cold, snowy winter when we won't exactly get one. We had a mild winter last season, slowing down tourism. Seven counties across northern Wisconsin lost an approximate $6.5 million. The Winter Recreation Small Business Recovery Act would help small businesses qualify for disaster relief when they don't have the weather they need to thrive. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Green Bay wins back-to-back games with a backup quarterback. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. For the second straight week, Malik Willis guided the Packers to victory, a 30-14 win over his former team, Tennessee. Head coach Matt LaFleur said Willis has come up big for Green Bay.
Hats off to him. Hats off to everybody around him. Guys rallying, having his back. You know, I think Tom Clemens does a great job, and, you know, I'd be remiss to say Connor Lewis and Sean Mannion, just the help they've given him, the support. Jordan Love's been instrumental as well, just giving him the tips and hanging right by his side and helping him out all along the way.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain but could return this week. Next up, the Packers play the the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. The Brewers made an impressive comeback, its largest in 20 years, by rallying from down 8-0 in the third inning to win 10-9 over Arizona on Sunday. Next up, three games on the road in Pittsburgh before finishing the regular season with the Mets at home. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the upper 60s to near 70 for a high this afternoon. The wind southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight will be mostly clear in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunshine with a high in the low 70s by Wednesday. Sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 46.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Cheese Days in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris' stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 7:06, nice to have you here on a Monday morning. It's September 23rd, 43 days until Election Day, 6 weeks from tomorrow. But the absentee ballots are already starting to get sent out. Head to myvote.wi.gov to learn more about how you can get your vote banked well ahead of Election Day. Coming up this hour, we're going to hear from New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. I talked to him just as the weekend was getting started, as he was coming into Wisconsin to campaign on behalf of Vice President Kamala Harris and Senator Tammy Baldwin. So we'll hear from him in just a little while. Up North News reporter Selena Heller is here. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, OBGYN and candidate for Congress is here. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot here as well. But before any of that, we have our Go for the Greener Gold text to win contest, where four times a day we give you a keyword that you will text to us on the app. Each of those times we pick one entry statewide at random. The winner gets $100 cash or gold jewelry, depending on what's up for grabs that hour. And of all the entries, there will be one grand prize winner getting a pair of tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. The contest happens in the 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours, and you have to text the keyword in the app before the end of each hour. And the keyword for this hour to text us on the Civic Media app is VOTE. V as in Victor, V-O-T-E, like get out and vote. You text that to us before the end of the hour, and you will be registered to perhaps be the winner of gold jewelry this hour from the statewide Go for the Green or Gold text to win contest. So, yeah, there's been a little bit of a change in the weather. That's because there's been a change in the season here on this first full day of autumn, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to tell us all about it. Somebody busted out the flannel, Brittany. It's getting to be that time.
Isn't it great? Sweater
Look
weather.
At how happy you sound about this. Summer's dead.
It's here, gone. You,
yes.
We're done
it's
with it.
It's all sleeves and flannel and hoodies and everything that you like.
Right. This is the Wisconsin vibe. So I'm excited for it. Officially fall now. We've got those fall colors about to hit peak over the next few weeks. Of course, I know it's taken its time, but this week's weather is prime to get those colors going. It's going to be vibrant because we're going to have the perfect temperatures and a lot of sunshine. And that's exactly what those leaves need, is those crisp, cool nights and those sunny days. So we're going to see those flipping very, very shortly. So otherwise, though, enjoy it. It's nice, crisp, cool, refreshing today. Highs in those mid to upper 60s. Further south in the state, you might hit some low 70s. But right now, this morning, a frost advisory is still in effect. Areas like Solon Springs, Tomahawk, and Kings all hit 32 degrees this morning.
Wow.
So pretty chilly.
Yeah.
We've still got that fog too into the Phillips area, Rhinelander, but that'll all burn off to a bright, beautiful day. A lot of sunshine, unless you live south very southern state line. I think some clouds are going to start to push in this afternoon and some slight rain chances after dark. But otherwise, a gorgeous week and a comfortable week ahead.
It's been a long time since I've looked out the window and, you know, Lake Wasota isn't there. There's just a bowl of fog where the lake normally would be.
So foggy.
So take it easy on the roads out there today. Let's see, Brittany, we don't know the weather in Tigerton. Here it is from Rob Now. Good morning from Tigerton. He writes on YouTube, it's cool, 43 degrees. It was a relaxing weekend doing my house chores, enjoying the rain that fell Saturday night. We got 0.6 of an inch of rain, and Sunday watching the Packers win. He says, I went and took pictures, especially at sunset when the sun rise and set straight east and west. And he concludes by saying, you are all my favorite morning crew.
Aww.
To which Tony says, I second that, Rob. And reminds us that there's frost up in Ashland as well. So thanks to all of you. And thank you, Brittany, very much.
Thank you.
All right. You have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, Brittany.
Bye.
All right. Before Kristen goes, we wanted to talk a bit about some other things that have been in the news. And this one's a bit more of a serious subject, but it's something that Vice President Kamala Harris brought up in her remarks, continues to bring up in her remarks, especially in light of a new report that shows that there are already women who have died from abortion restrictions that have been put in place since the Dobbs decision. And Kristen, you just had to know there'd be some kind of a response / backlash to this. And I'm thinking specifically the case of a young woman in Georgia who had to go, I believe, to North Carolina for a DNC and medication. And she later died of complications. And of course, we've already seen the reviews saying, oh, this has nothing to do with, you know, abortion bans. This is an indictment of abortion medication or anything else, any other reason that they can grasp at. And I can only imagine what an OBGYN like you thinks reading what happened to that woman and in these cases.
First of all, losing Amber Thurman, who was a young mom with a young son, is an absolute tragedy, and it was entirely preventable. And that is what Georgia's State Maternal Mortality Review Board determined. This is an organization comprised of professionals, of physicians who reviewed this woman's care and believe that her death was entirely preventable. She went to North Carolina to get abortion pills, came back to Georgia, developed an infection, which is a rare thing, and her team, it delayed caring for her because of abortion restrictions. This is entirely attributable to abortion bans. If she had been able to go to her doctor, tell her what the problem is, get the procedure she needed, she would still be here. She'd be alive being a mom to her son. But because of bans, she had to travel. Everything was secret and discreet. Her doctors didn't know how to take care of her because politicians are dictating our healthcare decisions when doctors know what we're supposed to be doing to take care of our patients. These abortion bans are literally killing people, and Amber Thurman is one of many. We're about to hear about more.
Oh, I mean, like we said in the last half hour here, that more women, you know, feel the need, they have to come forward and share their stories, because otherwise, as Alicia Saunders writes in, politicians keep trying to put their nose in our private healthcare decisions. And it is just not, we already knew it was not going to be healthy. And now we have the documentation, and I shouldn't say documentation, we have the actual tragedies, you know, that are starting to happen because of it.
And then we have these extremist right-wing journalists, I guess you would call them, who are contradicting what an entire board of medical professionals have determined and questioning the outcome and saying that we, the healthcare providers, are fear-mongering because we're telling the stories. And that's what my patients are hearing as well. When they come forward and they tell their story, their personal experience, they're being singled out and told that they are doing the fear mongering. And that makes me so, so angry.
Yeah. Well, understandably so, because articles like that, hide behind this notion. They put a note in there, you know, that not everything, we can't know everything about the case because, of course, there's medical privacy issues and, you know, doctor issues that are in there. So, yeah, you don't get to see the entire chart, but they're using that as a convenient excuse to say, well, it could be anything else other than the ban. Much like they like to say, it could be anything but the guns. It's the guns. It's the bans. These things are not in dispute. You can claim you want to debate them, but they are not really up for debate.
Yeah. I mean, this journalist who wrote this article has no medical experience to my knowledge. And for him to publicly refute what all of these medical professionals have come together, have studied, have looked at the entire picture and have come together with this consensus, for him to refute that, I think it's just, it's reprehensible. It's irresponsible. And again, it is literally killing people. So for me, as someone who signed up for this job because I want to take care of people, I want to help people build their families, all I can do is just shake my head and say, no, we're not doing this anymore. We've got to stand together and stand up for each other.
Well, we have to, because we live in an age now where if you don't like the science, you just claim the science is fake news. Mm-hmm. You know, you come up with your own alternative facts. You draw with a Sharpie on a hurricane map, you know, because you don't like where the scientists said the hurricane was going to go. And so it's incumbent upon the rest of us to say, no, actually, the people who study this should be listened to, the experts, the elites, if you will, should be listened to. And I'm glad that we have you to listen to about topics like these that keep people informed, especially given how busy you are doctoring where you are and candidating and then debating at the end of this week in your 8th congressional district race. You've got a busy week ahead.
And let's not forget my now weekly appearances on the Maggie Dawn Show at 3:30 every Thursday afternoon.
Did not know about this.
That's called a plug.
Yeah, I know.
The technical term is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You're a doctor and a lawyer. Talk about stuff.
A doctor and a lawyer talking together? I don't know.
And they're women,
this.
And they make some men real mad.
Yes, they do. Oh, my goodness. All right, Kristen, thank you so much. Safe travels. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
See ya. And you too.
All right, we're going to talk to Selena in just a bit about the stories that she's working on, especially how in rural school districts, the school districts are looking at, I don't want to say a new business model, but they're looking to add a little something of value that's good for the community, but also good for their own, you know, long-term fiscal health, if you will. So Selena's going to have details on that in a second. First off, a little sports at 7:17. Well, backup quarterback Malik Willis is definitely making the most of his opportunity while filling in for Jordan Love. He's only been with the team for 4 weeks, but on Sunday he ran for a touchdown and threw for a score, leading the Packers to beat the Tennessee Titans, his former team, 30-14. He finished with 202 yards passing, 73 yards rushing. Jair Alexander scored a touchdown on his first career pick six late in the first quarter of the game. The Packers had 8 sacks, their most since getting 8 in Chicago back in 2005. They also forced 3 turnovers. The Packers now get set to return home next Sunday at noon to face the Minnesota Vikings in a division matchup. The Brewers were down 8-0 in the third inning against Arizona, but chipped away, tied, went ahead on a Jake Bowers pinch hit infield single in the 8th to win the game 10-9. It's only the third time in franchise history they've come back after being down by 8 runs. They are off today, heading to Pittsburgh for the last road trip of the regular season. All right, back with Selena Heller after this. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. and a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar. Something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. Wish Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at wiscaregiverscdcp.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
I'll wake up, little Susie, wake up. Wake up, little Susie, wake up.
This would be the Everly Brothers. They reunited after 10 years after a bitter breakup on this day in 1983 at the Royal Albert Hall in London. The concert would be released as a double album reunion concert. Wake Up Little Susie there again on this day in 1983. Remember, you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click on subscribe in the banner at the top of the homepage, or click support, and you can make a contribution to what we do at Up North News as well. 7 a.m. bus stop temperatures look like this. It's 44 in Chippewa Falls. Hayward's at 32. 32 in Hayward. 35 in Park Falls. Wausau's at 43. Green Bay, 48. La Crosse, 45. Wisconsin Rapids, 42 degrees right now. Oshkosh is at 50. Madison, 48. And Waukesha, 48 degrees. Up North News reporter Selena Heller joins us now. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker joins us in less than 20 minutes. Selena, the story that you've been working on most recently for Up North News starts by talking about the crisis of affordable child care options, which is everywhere, mm-hmm. but is only exacerbated in our rural communities, which frankly, exponentially hurts a community, because if you don't have daycare, you can't attract young families. I mean, what are you going to do? More communities are becoming increasingly aware of this problem.
Oh my goodness, right. There's just no place to bring your kids, especially in rural areas. Like you said, they just have zero daycares. There's one county, I think Buffalo County, that they were telling me has no daycares at all. What do you do? The parents can't go to work. We'll be talking about that more as the months and weeks go on. But now it's really a kind of a creative solution that is happening in Wisconsin. And school districts are becoming part of the solution. How is that? That's so interesting. I had no idea.
Right. Well, I mean, we're used to, we're familiar with pre-K, obviously, and kindergarten. But frankly, we're talking much more of a starting very early situation, because they would appear to be in the best position to do this now. But that doesn't mean you open up a child care center just by snapping your fingers. As you know, it's a shortage of affordable quality child care, and that takes some steps for a school district to do.
Right. And it's the same with any daycare. You have to look for those quality people to provide quality care for everybody. I went to Western Dairyland and talked to a child care partnership director, and she oversees 10 counties in Wisconsin and helps parents find daycares for their kids. And so she has worked with all sorts of groups on this problem, and it's becoming such a problem. But she talks about the the importance of having those childcare teachers, kind of a consistency with them. And that's really a big issue because you can't have so much turnover, and that's what's happening. And she talks about this. This is Renee Ernsting.
Programs have hired 557 times. That is so, so terrible for children, that constant revolving different person, not building those relationships with the teachers that they need. That's a social emotional problem waiting to happen, right? Because between 0 and 5 is the most brain development that we have happening in children, and they need that stable relationship to build that trust so that they can learn in their environment. When we hire 557 times in one given year in our group programs, that is a cautionary tale. I don't know. It scares me, basically, because we know that the social emotional skills are being developed at those times. And it's really scary to think of how many people are in and out of lives right now with pandemic and all those other things that children have already just experienced. We have so many behaviors happening in very littles, and just lots of different things that are happening, later literacy rates, things like that. So we're really kind of concerned about getting a stable workforce into our group centers so that we can kind of combat some of the things that we're seeing with early childhood.
Because it's not just a matter of instability for, you know, the kids, but also for the parents and for the providers as well. And you talk to somebody about that.
Yeah, you don't have any place to bring your kids. That's a problem. You can't go to work. But so we talked about the school district stepping in. Blair Taylor School District is one of those. They built a child care center onto their elementary school in 2021. And they have been packed ever since. They have kids just waiting to come in. And Kristen Alvaker is the director there at the Blair Taylor Child Care Center. And she said, you know, there's just so many benefits of having such a facility attached to the school because they have shared services. And she just talks about more of that.
It's just the cost of care is high, and paying our child care employees enough for that retainment piece. And then what you can charge parents, it just never adds up. You know, it's never balanced out. And parents are only making so much at their jobs, and every time you have to raise tuition to give your staff a raise or an increase, or snack prices go up, groceries go up, so then our snack prices are higher, all that stuff adds up, and it's just hard to keep putting that cost on to parents. More funding from the state would be welcome and enjoyed, but unfortunately it's ending, so that's a struggle.
And that's where it's worth noting that Governor Tony Evers repeatedly has tried to convince the Republican-led legislature to put state money into the Child Care Accounts program to replace the federal pandemic relief money that is going away. What has been the history of Evers putting in a request and the legislature's response to it?
Oh, a few times. In the last budget proposal, there was $340 million put in there for Child Care Accounts, which helps give salaries or just money towards daycare centers. And so, and they removed it from the budget. And then he tried another time, and they're going to keep trying. But
I want to make sure I get the math right on this. So the governor proposed $340 million, and you're saying the legislature's response was $0.
Right. They just took it all out.
Yeah. I guess that's easy math, but not easy for the providers that have to deal with that, or for the parents, or for, like you said, the kids who are seeing this ongoing parade of providers, which takes away the stability that they so need. So come Wednesday, I think we'll talk about this in our homeroom segment as well from a school district standpoint. As these school districts start to get creative and look at adding childcare options, what district are we going to talk to on Wednesday?
The Lincoln School District, which is Elma Center, Humbird, Maryland, and that's in Jackson County, and Drew Semmingson is the superintendent there, and they have a referendum on the ballot for November to build a child care center.
Selena Heller, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. We'll hear from New Jersey Senator Cory Booker up next. You're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Local radio for you and your community.
It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We focus a lot of attention on what's happening with corn and soybean production, but I'll tell you what, another Wisconsin crop's had a pretty good year. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and fiber news on a Monday. We'll find out about Wisconsin's grape crop next.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans have farmers yielding out an additional 2.7 bushels per acre over A-Series. This has everyone talking, not just farmers. Case in point, a trucking company wrote, "Morning, noon, and night, it doesn't matter. I'm hauling Z-Series. The phone doesn't stop ringing. Even my home number, it never stops ringing." Well, it's fair to say Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are making quite an impact. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/new era.
Timberhill Winery in Rock County has had a very good season. They are harvesting grapes right along the Ice Age Trail between Madison and Janesville. Nick Havlick, owner and operator of Timberhill Winery, says it's been a pretty good year.
Overall, we were able to avoid many of the issues with disease that were caused by all the rains we had this spring. Some of our varietals are down in sheer volume. That could be a myriad of reasons, not necessarily just the rain. It could be the cold. It could be nutrients, et cetera. But, I mean, overall, we'll be satisfied with what we see out there. It's just getting them off the vine now.
Nick Havlick, owner and operator of Timber Hill Winery in Rock County. He said every grape grower is going to have a little bit different growing experience this year, and a little different harvest experience as well, given the rain that came through over the weekend.
Silage harvest season is officially underway, but are you missing a step? It's not too late to add Silosolve FC to your harvest plan. Using a silage inoculant like Silosolve FC can help preserve your investment in one of your most valuable assets, high-quality feed. Plus, for a limited time, when you buy 4 cases, you get one free. Not using anything to preserve feed quality could be a costly decision. Ask your local silage inoculant dealer about Silosolve FC today.
And more of those NFL-themed corn mazes will be featured this week through the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association on Friday. We spent a little time in the Ripon area with the Kaufman family at their pumpkin patch that's got the NFL theme. We were joined by President and CEO of the Green Bay Packers, Mark Murphy, as well as Governor Tony Evers. Now this week, tomorrow, Porter's Pumpkin Patch in Bondiwell will catch the attention of the Wisconsin Agriculture Tourism Association. And on Friday, the final of the 4 NFL-themed corn mazes, Feltz's Family Dairy, just outside of Stevens Point. Find more at WIAgTourism.com or Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook. I'll post pictures later today. That's a look at food news on a Monday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the upper 60s to near 70 for a high this afternoon. The wind southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight will be mostly clear in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunshine with a high in the low 70s by Wednesday. Sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 46.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global will be here to talk about gas and energy prices. Send in your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
don't know what it is, if it's just the chords, the melody, the lyrics, whatever, but Deacon Blues is just always going to be on one of my top 10 lists of songs. Asia, top 10 list of albums. Asia came out this day in 1977 by Steely Dan, their sixth album. Don't forget the green and gold, go for the green or gold text to win contest is going on this hour. The word to text to us through the Civic Media app is VOTE, V-O-T-E, which you can do on November 5th or earlier if you head to myvote.wi.gov. But text us VOTE before the end of this hour, and you will be in the running for some gold jewelry and a grand prize, which includes two tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. Again, VOTE is the word to text in, and then you get to play this again at 11 a.m., then 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. Such a busy weekend, and, well, every day is going to be busy for these next 6 weeks till the election. There, in the last hour, we heard from Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, who was here helping out Tammy Baldwin, who's running for a third term in the U.S. Senate. They were campaigning in Lafayette and Richland counties over the weekend. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, we had a chance to talk to him heading into the weekend as he was making tracks out this way to campaign for Vice President Kamala Harris and for Tammy Baldwin as well. It was nice to hear more about life as a surrogate and the case that he's making to voters when we caught up with him heading into the weekend. Senator Booker, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, I'm so grateful to be on. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're talking to you as you're, of course, doing a tour on behalf of Vice President Harris, but you've certainly made so many other appearances, including, you know, here in Wisconsin on behalf of Senator Tammy Baldwin. What are you sensing on the campaign trail at this phase so far?
The energy is incredible, and I'm just so impressed. I think one of the best ways of seeing this is just the volunteers showing up at headquarters are extraordinary. I have people that are taking off from work and working full time, just going door to door. So I haven't seen this kind of enthusiasm since the Obama days. And people know what's at stake, and they all come with stories. Some people about their fears of what Donald Trump tried to do the last time and take their health care away. They know that what President Trump did as soon as he got in, he relaxed emission standards, letting, you know, corporations pour more stuff into the air, and how that affects people with asthma and emphysema. It actually raises the rates of people dying from those things. So everybody has a personal story of their why they're working so hard. But it's very inspiring for me as a guy who's going around to the swing states to hear it when I'm on the road.
So what I'm hearing from you then is that there aren't people who are flocking to the Trump Vance message of a nation in decline and being overrun by immigrants and
that. I think that those fear tactics and scare tactics and frankly some really just rank xenophobia and bigotry towards immigrants hasn't sold in America. Now we know that there have been times. I don't know, for those who are history buffs like me, the Know Nothing Party in the 1850s was an entire party that came up as an anti-immigration party, using a lot of the same language they're using against Haitians, where then they were using the same language against Italians and Irish and Jewish immigrants. It's stunning to me when I was recently looking at the same fears and worries that were being whipped up by opportunist politicians who were trying to exploit people's pain and struggle and point the finger at immigrants. And so I hope this doesn't sell in a way that attracts more people to it. In fact, I think this is a chance for us to reject that kind of negativity, othering, demeaning, and degrading politics and really be about the politics of uniting, politics of empowering people, politics who knows who we are, a nation of immigrants, and speaks about how to create a safe, legal immigration system that serves everybody.
I sometimes wonder if this kind of talk that they're engaged in is a way to distract from policy, and specifically the policy that is listed in Project 2025, page after page after page. Now, you've mentioned healthcare. We've talked about reproductive rights. But when you're speaking on the stump to folks on behalf of the vice president and others, what is it that you're telling folks about the potential policy in Project 2025 that would come if Trump were to win another term?
I mean, it says in no uncertain terms that they want to tear down the administration. And this means that they want to attack government agencies that we may not know that we rely on them, but we do. So when you attack the FDA, you're attacking their efforts on food safety. When you're politicizing people that are literally making sure that we have officials that are supervising your food to make sure there's no pathogens in it and more. When they say they want to tear down the Department of Education, that means all the work that's being done to help disabled children or children with autism get the kind of resources they need, or that's making sure that the kind of technology and innovation that we see that being funded through some of our science grants are in rural high schools. I could go on and on through Project 2025. When I read that document, I realized what they wanted to do, which is further swing our country to the extremes that we're heading towards, where you have a small group of really rich people that are getting more and more, not just economic power, but political power, and struggling communities that are looking for help and support, safety regulations to be protected against the big guy who always often wants to take advantage of the little guy or gal to have those kind of protections. So I know this from being in Washington for the 4 years of Trump, and the kind of things that don't capture headlines, the kind of education grants that go to rural schools cut, the kind of resources that go to people that try to afford higher education cut, the kind of emissions that polluters are putting out there relaxed and allowed them to do more, the kind of tax breaks that the wealthiest grew, the kind of protections for labor, for unions were relaxed, the kind of protections to make sure that people aren't being screwed over at the job or having their wage theft or hour theft, those kind of regulators were gotten rid of. So it, for me, the things that often people don't think about, unfortunately, are the kind of things that Donald Trump and his team are scheming about now, and you see in Project 2025.
And yet, we are now staring down another potential government shutdown because of House Republicans. What would be the significance of it? And I doubt that you and Mitch McConnell agree on very much, but perhaps his line that this is politically beyond stupid?
Yeah, it is, because of what it does to our overall economy. And shutdowns cost us hundreds of billions of dollars in terms of economic growth and prosperity. Not only does it, what a government shutdown, freeze a lot of these government agencies that protect our food, that pay our veterans and more, but frankly, it is just economically dumb. And I'm not exaggerating. Our adversaries out there, the Chinese and the Russians, literally point fingers at us all the time when we do things like this about why democracies don't work. They think we should have authoritarian governments, and they're working to undermine ours. So the kind of chaos in the Republican Party, the right wing, that can't seem to elect a speaker or can't seem to pass a budget, this is the chaos that Donald Trump wants to bring back into the White House, where you see this lurches towards extremism, whether it's our Supreme Court with extreme members there that make decisions that are against the majority of the interests of the American people, whether it's the extremism of the House of Representatives, who keeps putting out stuff from their Republican think tank that would cut Social Security and cut Medicaid or Medicare. This is what we have to remember when we're in the polling place and voting.
And now you're hearing exactly why New Jersey Senator Cory Booker is out there hustling around Wisconsin and other states on behalf of Vice President Harris and on behalf of Senator Tammy Baldwin. Senator Cory Booker, thank you so much for your time. It was a great pleasure to talk with you today.
It was a really great pleasure to talk to you, and even more so to have a chance to engage with your listeners. Thank you very much.
Would have usually filled the whole 15-minute segment there, but as you could tell, we didn't have the greatest reception. And U.S. senators, as we learned from talking to Elizabeth Warren and others, they are notorious for having schedules that, shall we say, don't run with the precision you'd like to see of a finely tuned railroad. But we were happy to get a few minutes with Senator Booker and find out more about life as a surrogate and how he views the issues in the race. There's somebody else who's looking at the issues in this race and looking at the issues of January 6th. And he says he just wants to raise some questions. but by raising some questions, I think what the owner of Robert Hack Diamonds is actually trying to do is raise some doubts about what happened on January 6th, 2001. A story in the Journal Sentinel from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Ricardo Torres says Robert Hack Diamonds owner raises questions about January 6th Capitol riot in a newspaper ad. And it says that Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds, has entered the debate by running an ad on Sunday that he says raises questions about what happened at the Capitol. Specifically, it says, ask yourself before voting, why was the Capitol Police ordered not to use tear gas on January 6, 2021? Well, the ad, as the article points out here, makes no mention of the House Select Committee on the attack, which interviewed more than 1,000 people, published an 845-page report, and laid the blame squarely at the feet of President Donald Trump for lying about losing the 2020 election. Trump has continued to lie since then about the activities of January 6th. And it would appear to me that after we all saw what we saw with our own eyes, heard with our ears from Donald Trump, when we understand the number of law enforcement officers who were beaten, tortured, maimed, died during or afterwards, when we think of the more than 1,000 people who participated in the riot, the arrests, the court cases that have gone from there, there doesn't seem to be very much to raise questions about. The answers to your questions are out there. The answer, the question for me is, do you want to believe them? And, you know, facts are stubborn things. What's the other line? Facts don't care what you believe. The facts are what they are on the ground and in the memos and the voicemails and the conversations and the testimony. That was an attempted coup on January 6th. And while many people don't want to believe it, but would believe it if it had been a Democrat instead of a Republican, doesn't make any less true what happened that day. Now, it is a national tragedy that so many people are still willing to support somebody who tried to overturn an election, who tried to overturn their vote, who basically tried to overthrow the government and embrace somebody who has said that he is ready to be a dictator on day one and who has a plan. I mean, that was an 845-page report from the January 6th committee. Project 2025 was like, hold my beer. Here's over 900 pages of what we would do in a second Trump term. And Trump can say, well, I had nothing to do with that. But when it's written by, I was going to say a truckload, when it's written by a dumpster full of, you know, former aides, employees, supporters, partners, things like that, it really doesn't take much to see that the plan to overthrow the kind of government that we've enjoyed in this country, that plan is alive and well and in the candidacy of Donald Trump. And that there is, as we've talked about here before, still that threat of violence and violent rhetoric that is hanging over us. Currently, Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance, is spewing that rhetoric that he knows to be false about Springfield, Ohio. But throughout the country, there are concerns about political violence because Trump and J.D. Vance will not say or do nearly enough to tell people that that is wrong and that they are to respect the results of a free and fair election, just as they were free and fair in 2020. And so a business owner can take out all the newspaper ads that he wants and raise all the questions and try to fuel all the doubts. But it's more incumbent upon the rest of us who can't afford newspaper ads, but who can't afford to, you know, go get our ballot and fill it out either on November 5th or earlier. It's incumbent upon all of us to say, look, we've got our own eyes and ears. We know the facts. We know what Donald Trump has done. We know what Donald Trump would do. That does not make Kamala Harris a perfect choice, but it does mean there's one choice that's for democracy, and there's one choice that would take us down a path of authoritarianism. No questions about that. We'll be back with more right after this. You're up north.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Kamala Harris on police.
It is outdated, it is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Communities safer without police?
Oh, but there's more.
For far too long, the status quo thinking has been to believe that by putting more police on the street, you're going to have more safety. And that's just wrong.
Catch that? Kamala Harris is a defund the police Democrat. And Rebecca Cook, she fits right in. She's made a career out of it. A professional political operative trusted to elect anti-law enforcement politicians across the country. Rebecca Cook even led a dark money group that supported Mandela Barnes and his defund the police agenda. That's why the liberal Democrats handpicked her. Now Cook is bankrolled by the liberal elite to help win back the House. They trust her because Rebecca Cook is a defund the police Democrat.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Yeah, we've turned things over now to Greg Bach, who's got a beret and a cigarette, and he's texting to the microphone now with his jazz saxophonist to tell us more about his favorite jazz saxophonist.
This is the song Mr. PC from the album Giant Steps by John Coltrane, who is our birthday boy, actually. He is. It's birthday today.
That's right. I've got friends who are such fans of Coltrane that they named one of their pups Coltrane.
Love it.
Little pug. Yeah. Yep. Much loved, much beloved, and was born this day in, he says, scrolling quickly to see if he can find it, 1926, 98 years ago. Terry Bell, by the way, is normally here on Mondays. Terry's off today, so I'll just say the three things that you need to know this week are listen to his Civic Media news team throughout the course of the day. The second thing would be to listen to more of his colleagues throughout the course of the day and listen to Terry Bell's colleagues for more news throughout the day.
What a plug.
I know. I should write these things for a living. I could write these things, but could definitely not make a living about it. So in looking at some of the other headlines that we might be talking about, next Sunday is going to be the World Day of Migrants and Refugees. And in anticipation of that, a letter has been written by the Catholic Conference of Ohio. That would include bishops from Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland, Toledo, Youngstown, Canton, and more. All of these bishops signed the letter ahead of World Day of Migrants and Refugees to criticize their senator, Ohio's J.D. Vance, and asking the public to treat Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, with respect and dignity, and warned against unfounded gossip and scapegoating. They write, "Today our nation is divided by partisanship and ideology, which blind us to the image of God in our neighbor, especially the unborn, the poor, and the stranger. These negative sentiments are only exacerbated by gossip, which can spread quickly across social media with no concern for the truth of those involved." As noted by an article in the Columbus Dispatch, Haitian immigrants living in Springfield were thrust into the national spotlight when prominent conservative figures, most notably former President Donald Trump and Vance, began spreading unfounded rumors that immigrants were eating pets and wildlife. It led to a flood of threats, bomb threats and others. Evacuations were sometimes needed. Events were canceled. And it was against this backdrop that Ohio's Catholic bishops asked people to recognize the infinite dignity of immigrants and integrate the newcomers into the social fabric of Ohio. Like all people, the bishops write, these Haitians should be afforded the respect and dignity that are theirs by right and allow the ability to contribute to the common good. J.D. Vance, who converted to Catholicism in adulthood, said he does not regret spreading the baseless claims because they brought attention to the issue of immigration. You'll recall he said famously a week ago, "If I have to create stories so that the American media actually pays attention to the suffering of the American people, then that's what I'm going to do." But again, that's scapegoating. That's admitting that you're making up stories. That is, at its base, race baiting. To say that the problems of a society can be put on the people who don't look like us, the people who don't maybe speak like us or worship like us, the people who are taking these, you know, crappy jobs that we won't do, but we're going to complain about the ones who are doing the job if we have to see them around the neighborhood. We're seeing something like that similarly in the Eau Claire area. And it was no coincidence that J.D. Vance came here to the Eau Claire area recently, where a group has been working to help refugees resettle from the Congo in Africa, from the Democratic Republic of Congo, where, again, an area torn by civil war and violence, and where people, much like in Central America, trying to get away from gangs and violence, simply want to work and have a better life, just like your great-grandparents did. And they came through the system as it was at the time, not as it is now. And that is happening with refugees from the Congo. And of course, comes the inevitable pushback that there's a lack of transparency that says, well, we should get some kind of a say in who comes to our town. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's the same mentality that said, well, we should get a say in whether blacks can live on our street, or whether the Irish can live in our neighborhood, or whether the Italians can come to this community. It is no different. We have freedom of movement in this country. Now, that's not to say that you can't make somebody's life a living hell when they decide to come here. That is what happened to the Irish and to the Italians and to the Hmong to some degree, and to folks coming here now from places like Somalia. But that's on you. And there's now a group of Catholic bishops that are reminding you of the inherent wealth of immigrants, and the rest of us reminding you that people are always going to move to places where they can be more free, where they can work hard. And if we can't have that in our hearts, and if we can't have that in the hearts of our candidates, then what are we losing as a nation? And let's keep that in mind as we all go to vote, because voting is now underway. Tomorrow on the program, Julie Lassa from the U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Development. She's the Wisconsin director for that and my former colleague in the legislature. And we will be talking more about the investments of the Biden-Harris administration into Wisconsin's rural economy. Mr. Bach will be back at 10 o'clock for Matt and Air on Air. Yes, what's happening there?
Indeed, we got 10:30 with with Matt Randolph, a.k.a. Mr. Global, talking about oil and gas, and former Assistant Secretary from the Defense Department, Dr. Mara Carlin, talking about debates. And not mention we have our keyword at 11 o'clock for the Go for the Greener Gold.
So much going on. So thank you.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Tuesdays in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris's stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that just a bit outside the movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You got to go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie.
Yeah.
Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.